Legislature gathering for its annual to-do list, as it were, from the executive branch, known as the State of the State. Your reaction to what was heard on Wednesday evening?
I enjoyed the governor's speech. I especially liked the way he began it. George Washington Carver has always been, I guess, a kind of a hero figure for me. His museum is not that far from where I grew up in Nevada, and I can remember visiting it more than once and just being completely overcome with the accomplishments that he had in his life, and the governor used that as a kind of a lead-in to what Missouri can do to help children, especially disadvantaged children, to become all that God's designed them to be. And, you know, he used that phrase more than once and has a real vision. He and wife Sheena as well have a real vision for turning children loose to be what God made them to be and for helping them through rough times and foster care system, the adoption laws in Missouri. So they're working really hard to try to make that process adaptive to the needs of children and young people, and to both equip them and propel them into futures of success. Certainly there was no better example to begin with than someone like George Washington Carver, who began as a slave. I remember the account of how he began to work on the peanut. He became a believer in Jesus Christ early in his life. He was praying about what he was going to do as he got his education. He said he asked God what he should do, and I think he was thought about agriculture. God says, no, that's too much for you. And he thought about some other particular crop, I think, and that's, no, that's too big for you. And he said he thought about the peanut, and God said, okay, that's about the right size for you. And so he did so much there for the farming and agriculture, especially in the South, and basically just recovered that industry. And so it was a good lead-in. The governor's talk about what they wanted to do in foster care and adoption was good. He laid out a lot of the accomplishments. Missouri really is doing better in unemployment, in job creation. So many of the things that we've worked on, our business environment is more friendly now. Businesses are not as afraid to come to Missouri, and the ones that are here are not, as many of them, I think, looking for other places to be. That's a great benefit to the state. And so I think there were a lot of things there. He praised law enforcement, had a good anecdote that I think encouraged everyone about a law enforcement officer who had been wounded in a line of duty, whom he had visited and spoken to his son. So I thought it was one of the briefer speeches that I recall. It certainly was packed with good news, I think, with a good picture of what's ahead.
For you, the committees began meeting this week, and your utilities bill, regulations bill, Senate Bill 564, got its committee hearing this week.
It did. A lot of it was kind of the usual suspects type of a hearing where much of the same opposition came up. I think the interesting thing was the tone of some of the businesses who testified at the hearing was considerably different. I think they all are beginning to realize that something is going to have to be done. The way the cost of electricity has been going up on Missourians, and that's, of course, regulated by the Public Service Commission. So if it wasn't justified in their eyes, it wouldn't be happening. Companies have to go to them. These independently owned companies have to go to them for permission to raise rates. So we can't say that it's just some evil corporation out there trying to rob our citizens. And frankly, businesses and families both are saying this is just unsustainable. So we are trying to address it. We're trying to put into regulations the kinds of, I guess, of provisions that allow companies to develop their systems, their networks, so that we can see maybe a change in direction on those prices, being able to operate and provide electricity more cheaply, being able to accommodate some of the newer sources of electricity, the wind farms and the solar farms and other things. And so I'm hoping that we can address the concerns. There were a number of concerns that were legitimate. We've already begun to address those. We're going to try to work out some new language and try to fix the concerns that were expressed. Some of the industrial companies, the large users like Ford and SSM Health, were opposed to the bill, but they were more opposed to certain parts of the bill that we can address and we can change. So I think we have the best looking future that we've had to date in terms of getting something done that both helps us to modernize the grid, which will be a benefit to everyone, and also allow the electric companies who have to foot the bill on that to recover the monies that they'll have to invest to do it.
We heard a lot during the hearing on the term grid modernization. Why haven't companies done that anyway?
They have to some degree. I think that the main concern there is the timing and how quickly that can be done. KCP&L, for example, has, I think, gone considerably further than Ameren or maybe Empire either in terms of modernizing the portions of their systems that they've addressed. They have a lot more smart meters, for example, than the other companies do, and I think they will continue to do that. The real difficulty here is that it's basically happening on a maintenance schedule now as opposed to a modernization. modernization schedule. And that would be the same thing as if you were, if you're working on an older car. If you had a car that was 50 years old, you'd have to do a lot of maintenance on it. And it would be the kind of maintenance where it's hard to maybe find a mechanic or a shop that knows how to work on those anymore. They've changed so much. And so the question would be, do you continue to maintain that and to try to keep it running? Or should you start looking at maybe getting a newer car, a later model that has all the digitization in it? And probably the simplest way to look at modernization is digitization. Not very many people have landline phones anymore. One of the reasons is because we got all that digitized now. And so we can carry our phones around in our pocket instead of having them wired to the wall. Much of the same thing is true in that. And so you've got some companies that have done it more than others. Ameren, I don't know exactly where Empire is on their grid modernization. Ameren has only a very small number of smart meters in their system. But as the meters have to be replaced, then they might be able to put in a smarter meter, a digital meter that can make it easier for them to find a problem, make it less expensive to fix a problem. Those are the kind of things that happen when you modernize the grid. And the question is, do we do that in 10 years or do that over the next 50 years? And one of the problems with doing it over the next 50 years is the technology is changing again. So even those parts that you, quote, modernize now have to be modernized. And you eventually fall so far behind that it's almost impossible to catch up.
A big rally for you coming up next week, Keep Faith in America rally?
Right. There is a Missouri Prayer Caucus, and there is a rally that will be held here in the state capitol. Across the country, most of the rallies, I think over at least 30 states, are having rallies on the 16th of January. Because of our legislative schedule, a lot of our folks won't be back on the 16th because of the Martin Luther King Day and getting in later. We want to have ours whenever there are people here at the Capitol who want to attend. So there will be a rally in the rotunda of the Capitol. A number of legislators will be speaking, and we'll just be talking about the significance of prayer in their lives and maybe their families, their political careers. Put it on their calendar. It's going to be from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. here in Jefferson City on the 17th. I look forward to it. I think we're going to have a great event.